Hi, and welcome to That's My Purse Pod, the podcast all about King of the Hill. I'm Jason.
And I'm Jimmy.
So you know I ask it every week, but how was your past week?
Gosh, I gotta think about... Oh! My friend's bachelor party was this past weekend. So
how was that?
We did that. Okay, so... I am the best man at his wedding. So, it fell upon me to plan his bachelor party. And I found it very difficult. Not to say that he's not the most adventurous person, but he's not the most adventurous person. So, he really had a list of things he did not want to do. So, it very limited it to me. Like, he didn't want to travel. He wanted to stay in town. Nothing that would get you too sweaty. Is what he said. So it was very limited. The original plan was to go, I don't know. I call it go-kart riding, but it's like faster than go-karts. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. They go like 30 miles per hour or something like that. Is that still go-karts?
I guess it is. Like, was it indoor?
It was indoors.
Yeah, I think that's still technically go-karts, or it's a different kind. Is it like, what is that place called? We have one here, too. I think it's a chain, F1 Speed.
Oh, was it K1 Speedway?
Or K1, there you go, yeah.
Yes, that's what... So, the original plan was to go to this one we have here in Austin. It's called Coda Kart Racing, mm-hmm. And that's for the Circuit of the Americas, which is our, like... NASCAR Formula One track here, but they were all booked up for the weekend. K1 Speedway was first come first serve, so I was like, okay, we'll do that. The wait time was 2 hours wait, so we had to go to Plan B, which ended up being bowling, which is fun. But unfortunately, we got the groom too drunk. He was doing a lot of shots that night. He succumbed to the alcohol, and so the night ended kind of early-ish. We ended up at an IHOP, so but I feel like I don't know. What would you want to do for your bachelor party?
I've honestly never given it much thought. Probably not much, to be honest. I'm pretty chill. I was back, gosh, almost 10 years ago. It's like 9 years ago, but I was my friend's best man at his wedding, and I dropped the ball in the bachelor party. I want to say I dropped the ball, but I forgot to, like that was part of the best man duty. And to be fair, my friend never really pushed me on it either. Like, oh, man, I can't wait to have a great bachelor party or anything like that. So I just never planned it. And then, like, the night before the wedding, like, you know, people were already in town in the hotels and stuff. So, including some of his friends. So I was like, hey, let's all go get some drinks and stuff. So we just went around downtown Austin drinking, buying him shot after shot after shot, which in retrospect probably wasn't the greatest idea. But, you know, here we are. But, yeah, so we, that was just a very... I guess mundane way of doing it. So I'm just, I don't know. I for myself, I don't even know what I would want to do for a bachelor party.
Okay. I'm going to switch it up. I'm putting you on the spot. We've known each other for a long time, I would say.
Yeah.
Okay. What would you do for my bachelor party? And then I'll tell you what I would do for yours. Or do you want me to go first so you have some time to think about it?
Yeah, go ahead and go first so I can think.
I kind of got some kind of idea. Okay, so it has to be reasonable. It can't be like a crazy out of budget thing. So reasonably priced. I think what I would want to do is I think we would go on, I'm going to say this wrong because I always say it, like a brewery tour, like where beers are made. Uh-huh. I think we would go to like some kind of place like that. To do like some kind of beer tasting, something around that. And then I would want to do kind of like a foodie tour of a city. And I want this all to be like a city that we've never, like a new destination. like a trip for like the few guys to go fly out. We Airbnb it for the weekend, tour the brewery, do some foodie landmarks, and just like, I think that would be it. That's pretty chill, but I think the travel would be like the fun part. How's okay, that sound?
Yeah, I would not, I would like that. I was thinking something in the similar vein for you. So there would definitely be the beer tour because I think you'd appreciate it, but not, yeah, like actual breweries and stuff like that, not just like dive bars, maybe at the very end of the night. Dive bars, but you know, actual breweries. Maybe if there are, you know, there's some vodka distilleries and whatnot out there that do tastings, so that'd be cool. And then like probably an escape room or two.
Oh, that would be great. I would love that. Oh, I want to tack on to yours. If I could find some live karaoke, I would think we should do some live karaoke.
That would be awesome. I don't even know if they have, I mean, I'm sure it still exists like as a general statement. I don't know if it still is a thing in Austin though.
No, because I remember you did it at the Highball with the band.
Yeah.
But then they changed ownership.
Well, I think that band was like a touring band. Highball wasn't the only place they played, but I think they like went under or something. When was it? Oh my gosh, I'm drawing a blank on when it was. Like in 2019, like even before COVID, they went under.
You know what? I'm changing it. I think now I'm all about this live karaoke thing. I think for your bachelor, we go to Tennessee. Because okay. I know they do live band karaoke there, right? Because it's not like, you know, Nashville area. Like, that's music. So they do live. I know they do live band karaoke there. And there's got to be some kind of like distilleries or breweries there that we could tour, and there's good food. You find good food anywhere. You just gotta find the gems.
Yeah, every city nowadays seems like every city on the planet has every city on the planet has some kind of brewery scene or whatever. At least any major city. So you know, it I feel like I would be shocked if Tennessee didn't have breweries or distilleries or something.
Yeah, wouldn't they have a bourbon? No, Maker's Mark isn't made in Tennessee, right?
I honestly have no idea. I think it's Kentucky because that's where a lot of different like bourbons and whatnot are made. I mean, which is one state over, but.
Oh, Jack Daniels is made in Tennessee. Oh, wait, no, wait. Oh, it's Tennessee whiskey, but it's made in Kentucky.
That's weird. I don't know why that's the reason, but that is interesting.
Yeah, the two most popular Tennessee, two major producers of Tennessee whiskey are both in Kentucky. Interesting. I feel like they would want to keep that in Tennessee, but I think we got some pretty okay. I also feel like I dropped the ball. I do have a redo though in a couple weeks. His wedding is on New Year's Eve, so it's one of the like it's on, like it's gonna roll into the new year, the wedding, like the reception will be in the new year. It's like one of those things. But there's three of us, but the last groomsman is from out of town and he won't be in town until the Wednesday before the wedding. So I planned for us to go to eat at Salt Lick and then go to like this cool arcade bar. And I feel like that's my kind of redemption of the bachelor party. Not that I didn't have a good one, but I feel like I need a redo. If anyone needs a best man, I've got one under my belt. I feel like now I can, like, you know, I only get better from here.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's all made up anyway, like in the sense that there's no like actual rules to how to run a bachelor party or bachelorette party. So I think you're kind of in the clear there. But yeah, I think having a do-over would definitely be fine. And I think, I mean, I guess what really matters is, was the Bachelor happy? If the Bachelor was happy, then you're in the clear. Like, even if you think it wasn't up to your standards or whatever, as long as the person who the party was for had a good time and enjoyed it, then you're clean.
I do think there's a lot of pressure on, like, making something super memorable. It's really hard to make something, you know, to manufacture memory. Yeah, we all think of The Hangover, you know? Like, you're like, it's got to be Hangover level. But that's, you know, it's hard to do that. I should have invited Ken Jeong.
That might have helped.
You know what I should have done? I don't know if we talked about this on the podcast or we just talked about this in our normal life. Remember, you could rent a comedian?
Yeah, we did talk about that in our normal life. You can rent a comedian, especially like the, I guess, up-and-comers or what do you want to call it? People who are open micers, but like professional open micers, which sounds like a weird thing to say, but you know, it's like they're open mic, but they actually are taking it seriously as like a potential career.
We looked it up and we found some ones that were like $100 or something around that, maybe like $200, but there was no minimum of people they would like. They weren't like, if it's only four people, I don't perform.
True.
I should have gotten one of those. For yours, I'll hire a comedian to come out with us.
Yeah, that would be, I mean, I would enjoy that. Get some live, like that's the, what's the word I'm looking for? That would be like the ultimate live entertainment, because you'll have somebody just hanging out with you, just randomly doing jokes.
Yeah, like doing bits in the like downtime. You're like, every time we're going from place to place, I need you to do like a small bit for the car rides.
Yeah, they just have to always be on. That would be interesting. I feel like they would do it because, one, as long as you're respectful, like, how often are they going to have that much time to, like, work on so much material at a given point in time? So they might be open for it because it's like they're getting paid to essentially generate material. And as long as you're, like, respectful and, you know, not insulting them or, you know, anything like that, then, you know, then it's just them, like, having a good time, too. So it would make sense to me to do it.
And I feel like that would end up as one of their bits. Like, they would get up and be like, You won't believe this, guys. I got hired to tell jokes at a bachelor party, but I had to be on the move with them.
Yeah, we went bar hopping and everything.
Oh man.
That would be a great bit. Like, I can only see the positives in that.
Yeah. Oh man. But that was my week. What about you? What have you been up to?
Oh, not too much. It's pretty, you know, things are slowing down over the weekend and stuff, or just in general because it's end of year. So not much. Just I kind of chilled this weekend, went and got coffee with friends. Nothing too exciting, sadly. But, well, I guess it was fine. It was relaxing. Let's put it that way. Like, it wasn't the most exciting weekend, but it was nice and relaxing and fun to spend time with people.
That's very good. Yeah, the year is wrapping up, so it's good to just kind of check in on everyone.
Indeed. Have a fun when you can before everybody goes out of town. I'm not going out of town this year, but I wouldn't say everybody I know, but the majority of people I know who live in this area are headed out of town, whether it be like just to another city within California or to another state entirely or another country. So it's like, okay, cool. Well, it'll just be Puppy and I for now, which is fine. I'll probably do some volunteer work or something, help make the world a little bit of a better place.
Yeah, I'll probably catch a movie. So I might see Avatar.
Well, you'll have to let me know how it is.
Will do.
I don't think Hank would be able to sit through the movie, not just because of the ridiculous plot, but because of his back problem. Because this time we are doing, this is our episode 41, we're doing Hank's Back this time. It is season 8, episode 20, and this is probably, you know, it's interesting because this is probably this one of two episodes that related largely to Hank's back problems. And I don't know, just the idea that they can milk that subject for an entire episode twice is kind of funny. Oh, we have a celebrity guest star here. So a big one too, not like a, you know, D-lister or whatever. Johnny Depp guest stars in this one. So let's go for it. We're in Strickland Propane, and Enrique like checks a little thermometer that they have in the I guess floor room or whatever, and he's like, oh no, and he runs out and he tells Hank it's hot again, it's Indian summer. So Hank's, you know, trying to take charge, and he's like, okay, Joe Jack, you're on spatulas, Enrique, you're on accessories. And while he's like barking orders, there's a customer behind here who's really upset because he wants his tank filled. And then another customer, she comes up and she's like, hey, you need to help me, I've been here longer. And the guy's like, service means serve us. And Hank's like, oh, he's right. So he turns over to pull up two propane tanks, and he winds up pulling his back and, you know, screaming out loud and having to lie down or sit down. And the original dude is just like, oh, great, now you're taking a break. Hank's at the doctor's office, and the doctor looks at the x-ray and says, this looks normal. And Hank's like, oh, what are you talking about? I had to lean down all day, and good posture is one of the most potent weapons of the salesman. And, you know, the doctor's like, well, it's soft tissue injury, and soft tissue injury doesn't show up on an x-ray. So, you know, all you really need to do is rest your back and you'll be fine. So, you know, fill out a workers' comp form and I'll gladly sign it. And Hank refuses it because, in his words, he's not a hobo. And so the doctor's like, okay, well, I'll give you a prescription for painkillers. And he's like, whoa, doctor, feel good? I work at a propane dealership, not at Woodstock. And the doctor's like, okay, well, all Western medicine really offers is medication and nothing. And Hank's like, you mean that's all I can do? And so the doctor's like, you could try yoga. I've heard a lot of people have had success with it. There's a yoga studio in McManorbury. And Hank's like, yoga, isn't that a cult? And he's like, no, but the group that was in the space before was, so that's probably where you're confused. And Hank's just not having it. He's getting ready to leave, and he's can't bend properly. So he's like, I really hate to ask you for this, but I need help putting my pants on.
I love that Arlen had a... Wait, it's not Arlen, it's McManorberry. But I like that, yeah. there was a cult like very close to them. But wait, We already encountered a cult in Ireland. Or I don't know if we talked about it. Now I can't remember. No, we did talk about
that episode.
Yeah. Man, Ireland has a lot of cults in their vicinity.
Yeah, we know for a fact off the top of my head, they mentioned two of them. I don't know of any other episodes they mentioned it, but at least those two.
And I really love that Hank's just like, I don't want any medicine, because that's like, he's like, oh, I don't want to get all doped up. And then he's like, but I can't accept workman's comp because I'm not a hobo. And the guy's like, well, you know what? We're all out of luck here.
I mean, and that's pretty much true. I mean, it's very limited on what they can do, because if you have soft tissue pain, all you can do is, you know, relax until it heals itself, or take pills that essentially will just numb your pain until you get to a point where you can, you know, your back has healed itself. Though I would argue, and I'm not a doctor, but my understanding is that would probably extend it, because really the best medicine is to rest and let your body recover. And if you're taking pills, the pills aren't really healing the problem as much as just masking the pain so that you can power through it.
I wonder if he would have called it like physical therapy, if Hank would have been like, ah, that's more my cup of tea, you know, instead of yoga. Because is it kind of, I don't want to say like physical therapy, yoga, the same thing, but they're both like stretching, like there's stretching involved.
Yeah, I mean, it is kind of interesting. Now, granted, it's also, you know, so that the episode can happen. But yeah, it's funny that the doctor did not recommend physical therapy, because I've injured my back before and I've been recommended to chiropractors and physical therapists before, because they're like, oh, well, you know, this is the problem. Soft, exactly what they said with Hank. Soft tissue injury. You can just wait for it to get better. But you know, if you wanna, and I think from their perspective, it was less get better, like for this time, but also just get better, but also strengthen parts of your body so that this doesn't happen again or decreases the likelihood of it happening again. And they recommend that. So I found it interesting, I guess, now that you mention it, that they don't recommend physical therapy. But at the same time, you know, the episode has to happen. So
this is true.
Yeah, I have uncles like that, actually. So they're, you know, agrarian, they're farmers and stuff. And they kind of have the mindset of, you know, work needs to get done. And, you know, if I, just because I'm injured, I'm not bleeding, I can still work or whatever. I just need to take it a little easier and stuff. So, you know, they're definitely probably not the types to take workers' comp unless they were like pretty close to death.
Yeah, I don't know. I always thought workman's comp was like, you had to be really, like your legs had to be broken or something.
Not necessarily. I think it's basically if you're injured to the point that you can't work, that you can get workers' comp. So it doesn't necessarily have to be a major injury like, oh, you broke your leg or anything like that. It could just be, you tore a tendon and you can't type. I've actually knew somebody, now granted it was an arm break, but you know, their job requires them to type all the time. And because their arm was in a sling, they weren't able to type. So they went on workers' comp. So yeah, I think it's, and if you have any kind of injury that you do, and it has to be on the job, like you can't injure yourself skiing and go on workers' comp. If I'm not mistaken, if there's a lawyer out there who understands more, let me know. But my understanding, it has to be on the job injury. So while you're on the clock, if you injure yourself, you get workers' comp.
Interesting.
So, yeah. So we're at the Pink and White, which is like, I guess, the neighborhood grocery store in King of the Hill. I don't recall us seeing it all that much in previous episodes. I think we do, but really you see Megalomart most often. Unless the plot calls for them to be in a different store for whatever reason. Peggy's checking out and she's being, you know, I don't mean to be fussy, but you put the tomatoes near the bread and chicken near the bleach. And, you know, the girl who's putting everything together is just like, okay. And Peggy puts up, she continues to make a noise about it, about, you know, like, oh, well, I don't want my family to get poisoned by eating bleached chicken. And so the girl calls the manager, who's called Pete, shows up. It's like, oh, forget the ID. Just sell the cigarettes. And the manager, Pete, he actually recognizes Peggy. And it's like, hey, this is Peggy Platter, the greatest bagger we ever had. And she's like, oh, it's Peggy Hill now. And, you know, they catch up. They go into, like, the milk department, but, like, behind the shelf where they stock it and everything. And she has a conversation with Pete, and it's funny because I think it's actually the same guy that we saw at Strickland who's kind of being a rude customer here. He's like looking through and he's like, hey, I know you all have fresher milk back there.
Okay. I thought you were talking about Pete, but you're talking about the customer. Okay.
Yeah. Pete is talking about how, you know, oh, things aren't so great at the Pink and White because Megalomart is their main competitor, and they're just beating them with better pricing, better parking, all that stuff. And Peggy's like, well, you know what? We can compete with them on service. So Peggy decides to join the team as like the expert bagger.
This also goes back into like when we talked about like Peggy has just the time to do kind of pick up whatever job. Is she even going to get employed there? Like, or is this kind of like volunteer work, do you think? Like, is she filling out tax forms?
Oh, I'm certain she's employed.
I don't know. Sometimes Peggy just does what she wants, you know?
But yeah, she has a lot of free time. And I think this is, in the later episode, she's not even a substitute teacher anymore. I don't even remember if there's like a point where she pivots to stopping a substitute teacher, or if just within the plot they just never talk about it again.
Yeah, because once she becomes a journalist and then a realtor,
yep,
you kind of forget she was ever a substitute teacher.
Exactly.
Okay, I don't know if you do this, but I do this when I go shopping. When I put my stuff on the conveyor belt to be, like, when I'm going to be checked out, I put my stuff in order of how I want it bagged, if there's a, like, regardless if there's a bag or not, because then I'll go over there and bag it myself. But I have, like, all my cleaning supplies grouped together, and all my, like, heavy things grouped together, and all my vegetables grouped together. Is that something you do so that it just flows and all you have to do is grab it and put it in the bag?
I do not put that much thought into it, to be quite honest.
Oh,
so
man.
I just kind of put it down reverse. I put the stuff down on the conveyor belt reverse the way I put them into the actual box, or add into the cart or basket or whatever.
See, now I'm thinking like maybe me, like Peggy and I have this like connection, because I used to bag, and that's how I kind of liked how I flowed my, like, I a bagger's mentality of like how I want it to be placed in the bag for fastest thing. Because I've had people bag bleach next to my food, and I don't know. That's just like, I don't know. I feel weird about it. I don't know how you feel about that. I don't think bleach should be next to
it. It is weird. It is weird because it does leave an opportunity for cross-contamination.
But I don't know. I don't know if great bagging is going to be something that would make me go for lower prices, but I guess we'll see.
Yeah. So Hank makes it to the yoga studio, and the yogi is a bit pretentious, and he's kind of like, I guess he's like kind of the stereotypical, you know, yogi. I'm very spiritual. I'm walking around in just like these yoga shorts, and, you know, that's kind of his whole thing. And he's clearly more interested in the women in the class than the men. And, you know, Hank comes up and tries to talk, and the guy's like telling a story about how he was just like you, he's like, ah, I was just like you. And then until one day I met a special friend, and this special friend, Hank's like, can I interrupt? Is this going to be one of those stories where your special friend is yoga? And I guess the yogi's not that happy, and he asks like, oh, so tell me a little bit more about, like, when do you evacuate your bowels? The best time to do it is between 4 and 6 a.m. And Hank's offended by this. He's like, this is ridiculous. And he leaves. He's like, this is a bad way to spend a lunch hour. And Yogi is like, oh, you shouldn't be taking lunch. That's one of the worst things you can do. Back in the alley, and keep in mind, Hank is pretty much like in an L position. He's standing, but then he's completely hunched over the entire time, or at least the majority of this episode. And Bobby's riding his bike, and he's like, hey, Dad, I'm going to do a wheelie. And he tries to do a wheelie. Probably the weakest wheelie you've ever seen. Like, he only pops the front tire maybe half an inch off the ground. And Hank, not having seen it, is like, hey, way to go, Bobby. And he's like, how was it, Dale? And Dale's like, it was crap. And then Bobby was like, Dad, you look like the old man we hate getting stuck behind in Megalomart. And he's like, yeah, I just got a knot in my back. It's not that bad. He's like, well, have you tried walking it off? And he's like, oh, good idea, Bobby. I'll finish up here and I'll give that a go. And when Bobby leaves, he's like, I spent all morning trying to walk it off. Just didn't have the heart to tell Bobby. It didn't work. And Dale's like, we're getting old. Like, look, I used to be able to pull my thumb all the way back here and it wouldn't hurt, but now it hurts. And they talk about the high school football days, how it was easier. Like, oh, anytime we were injured or whatnot, Coach Sowers would give us some of those pep pills, and we would be able to work, you know. Or he was like, yeah, back in high school, anytime when we were playing football, we got hurt, Coach Sowers would give us some of those go pills. And even if you didn't feel great, you felt like you could take on the Dallas Cowboys, and Boomhauer makes a comment about how it was essentially horse crank that he was giving them. And then Bill's like, yeah, I remember one time I broke my leg and I didn't realize it for 2 days. It took 7 police officers to put me in the ambulance. But, you know, Hank is like, I don't want to use the pills. And then I also don't want to just like lay around. You know, I have a work ethic. And as he's bent over, Dale puts his beer on Hank's back and Hank gives him a look. And Dale's like, okay, fine, I'll use a coaster.
Man, I was really, so when I watched this for my rewatch, I haven't seen this episode in a while. And when Bobby's like, have you tried walking it off? And Hank's like, it felt when Hank gave his answer, it was very sarcastic. And then after Bobby leaves, he's like, I tried walking it. Like, I didn't want to tell him I tried walking it off already. Cause I was like, Hank's advice to Bobby would have been to try to walk it off. So I'm great that he did attempt to walk it off.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say, also, I appreciate Dale's honesty with Bobby's wheelie looking like crap. I would have expected Dale to be like, that was the greatest wheelie ever. Too bad you missed it, Hank.
Yeah, I could see it going either way. It definitely could have gone that way. Let's see here. So we're back at Strickland Propane. Hank's still like in his L position and he can't work, obviously, and he's trying to organize things, but he's bent over and he's trying to, like, you know, give out commands, but he's talking to Donna, or he thinks he's talking to Donna, but he's actually talking to somebody else. And now he's just identifying people by shoes since he can't see their face. He's like, hey, brown shoes. And he tries to stand up on the grill and kind of use the grill as a steadying mechanism so that he can walk around. At the pink and white, Peggy is the bagger, and that is kind of the gimmick. They even have like a little sign outside that says, come and see Peggy the bagger. And she sees the person is like, oh, paper and plastic. And she's like, plastic. It's like, that question was rhetorical. And then Peggy goes and like tries to do like a 5-second bagging. At the house, Hank is trying to open the freezer and Peggy comes in and she's just on cloud nine. She's like, you know, I know it's not surgery, but I'd like to see a surgeon put a watermelon and light bulbs in a bag without breaking either one of them. And Hank's like, Peggy, do you mind opening the freezer? I got it started. And Peggy just like, oh, come on, Hank, just go on workman's comp and just, you know, rest this thing out. And he's like, it's going to be a bad message to Bobby if he sees me paid to do nothing. And we look over and we see Bobby like lounging on the couch. And he can't be bothered to change the channel, so he throws a couch cushion at the TV, and it changes the channel. And I guess it changes it to a channel he doesn't want to watch, so he's like, okay, I'm going to throw something else at it. But then he sees that the other pillow is, like, not within arm's it's not within arm's reach of him, but, it, like, it's barely out of reach, and he just kind of gives up. And so Peggy's like, you might be right.
Why would Peggy want to bag a watermelon with light bulbs? Like, yes, you can do it, but that person still has to load that in their car.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's just a bragging rights. Like, hey, look, I was able to bag these and neither one broke.
Also, I've been there where I've been, Bobby. In those moments when you're trying to reach something, when you're like so comfortable and you're trying to reach something and it's just out of reach and you're like, I'd rather live without that and stay in my comfortable position.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially on a cold day when you're under a blanket and stuff and you're feeling good and everything. And it's like, oh, I could get up and grab that, but it feels too nice. I'm going to just lie here. Back at Strickland, Hank is still leaning over and Joe Jack comes up and it's like, how's your back, Hank? And Hank's like, how's your gambling problem? And Joe Jack just leaves and Buck comes up behind him, but you know, Hank can't see either which way. And Hank apologizes to Joe Jack, but Joe Jack's up there and Strickland's like, oh, I can't have you sitting around here talking to no one. Just go on workers' comp. And Hank's like, no, I won't do it. I will work. It's Indian summer. And Strickland's like, hey, it's no big deal. Just go on workman's comp, and while you're out, I will hire Jojack's brother at half the price and then use the savings to pay for, I guess, his new girlfriend's studio time to make a record or whatever. And Hank's just not interested in it. And Hank's like trying to do some work and put up some tongs, but then he falls to the ground. And that's what he just realizes, like, yeah, maybe I should go on worker's comp. And he asks for a form and fills it out.
I love when he asks for a pen too. And he's like, can I get a pen? He's like, never mind. There's a whole bunch of pens under this desk.
Yes, that was funny. We go to the workers' comp office, I guess insurance office. I don't know how workers' comp works, if it's like private insurance or if it's offered by the state. But anyway, we're in the office, and the lady who's trying to get him workers' comp is clearly like, I could understand, because if you're in this job, you probably see a bunch of fraud, which and at some point it might jade you. But yeah, she just like doesn't believe that Hank is in pain. She believes that he's like faking it and just wants to get out of work and get paid to just hang out at home. And Hank's just not enjoying this. And, you know, the lady's like, okay, so it says that she lifted your propane tank. Or the lady's like, okay, so it says you lifted two propane tanks at once. And he's like, yeah, I almost put down temporary insanity. Hank looks and notices all the paperwork. It's like, man, that's a lot of paperwork. And she's like, yep, that's part of the job, filling all this out. The other part is finding frauds. And Hank's like, why would anyone fake it? I just love my work. Love the face of my customers when they're happy. And the lady's like, okay, you can quit putting on the show. The lady's like, you know what? You need to see a doctor. And he's like, I already saw a doctor. He's like, oh, see one of ours just for fun. And so he goes, sees the doctor. The doctor is the exact same way. He looks at the x-ray. It's like, oh, you know, I don't see anything wrong, because it's soft tissue, of course. And he thinks Hank is faking it. So he throws a ball at Hank, thinking like, oh, you know, Hank's natural reaction is going to be to try to grab the ball. So if he's faking it, he's going to try to grab it and reveal himself. But naturally, the ball just hits him in the face. And Hank's like, what are you doing? And then he proceeds to like drop a book, thinking like, oh, that'll scare Hank and make him shoot up. But Hank doesn't do it. And doctor's like, well played. And he's like, okay, so maybe it's funny because the doctor doesn't believe him at all. The doctor's like, okay, it's in my medical opinion that your back might be injured. Just go home and wait for your check. And Hank's like, well, that's all you're going to give for me? You're not going to try to fix my back? And he's like, I already told you, you're going to get your check. You've been well played. As Hank leaves, there's another doctor who's like, hey, it looks like you need a second opinion. And it's funny because we see him in the doctor's office. One, it doesn't look like a typical doctor's office with like medical textbooks or anything there. It looks like just, I don't know, a standard office, maybe an insurance office. And the guy has a degree from the University of the Falklands, which I think is, I don't know, a fake medical school or something. I feel like that was intentionally put there, even though I don't necessarily go the joke. And it's clear that this is a scam. And he's like, oh, yes, we can do more x-rays and more x-rays. I think you need a bunch of x-rays. Think of that as your new job, getting x-rays. And, oh, you need a sympathetic lawyer. And it's one of those, you know, when you're on TV or watch daytime TV and you see, like, you're in an accident, call 555-5555 and we'll fight for you. So Hank is like, this consultation is over. Meanwhile, as we check at the Pink and White, Peggy talks about how much she loves bagging, because it's like a stranger, or I guess bagging is like a strange window into people's lives, and she gets to see a little bit about it. And it's funny because the other employee that she's talking to, Chet, is like, I'm up to 3 beers on my lunch break.
I love at the doctor's office. I feel like he throws the ball at Hank for a second time.
Yeah.
And it hits Hank on the head. But I also love when they're talking about he needs a sympathetic lawyer, and he gives him the number, and then Hank's like, this is the guy, he says on all the billboards, right? Yeah. Or something, or on TV. I always think of, do you remember David Comey? The attorney that rocks?
He's the one. Yeah, he's the attorney who looked like, he's like I can't remember if he was a speeding ticket or DWI attorney, but yeah, he always had the billboards in Austin, and he looked like a Rob Zombie impersonator, but he was an actual lawyer.
Yeah, he's got dreads, and He is white. He is Caucasian. He has dreads. And when Hank gets the card, my immediate, like, this is David Comey. Not that David Comey is like a ambulance chaser, but that's the image I had. I was like, that's the lawyer Hank's going to.
Yeah, I haven't seen him in Austin in forever, but it's not like I live in Austin anymore. But I do remember seeing those almost all the time, the billboards in Austin for him.
Do you think he's doing really well or not doing really well? Like, to afford all those billboards, like...
Oh, yeah, he definitely has to be doing well because billboards aren't cheap.
So, but that's instantly who I was like, yes, that's that lawyer. Or that's the image of a lawyer that I have in my mind.
Mm-hmm. So in the alley, Hank is lying on the ground now. Like, I guess his back pain has progressed even more and... He's upset because he's like, all I want to do is go to work, but everybody's treating me like I'm trying to run some kind of scam. And Bill's like, oh, think of it this way. The couch and the TV are now your mother and father. The couch is your mother. And Dale's like, I get it. You're not yet comfortable being a leech on the system, but with time, you'll get used to it. And Hank doesn't like the idea. Like, oh, well, that might be good for you, Dale, but not great for me. And Dale recommends him seeing John Redcorn, since John Redcorn is like a new age healer, licensed new age healer, and does massages and stuff. And Hank doesn't like it at first, but, you know, I guess he relents. It's funny because Bill wants to lay down next to Hank to make Hank feel less awkward, but then Hank stops him.
I love that Dale also is like, Nancy always comes home so loose. He says like, limber,
like all relaxed or something, yeah.
When she comes back from John Redcorn, and I mean, everyone knows, like the rest of the guys know, but you know, Hank's out of options.
Mm-hmm. He goes to John Redcorn's place, and it's nighttime, and I guess like his most recent customer, which is an attractive young lady, is leaving, and Hank comes up and he says, "Yeah, I need some assistance," and we go into the room and the lights are dim and Hank's like, can you turn the lights up? And he's like, oh, this is as high as they go. And it's like, is that music? Luther Vandross? No, Teddy Pendergrass is like, oh, well, can you turn it off? And he's like, yeah, it's wired to the lights. And John Redcorn's getting ready to give Hank a massage, but you can tell like just from his face and his body language that he does not want to do this. And before he has to actually touch Hank, Hank's like, hey, I've been thinking about doing yoga. And John Redcorn's like, yoga's great. Do it. And so Hank leaves. We see him at the yoga studio. And he has, well, he doesn't have a yoga mat. I mean, he brought like a welcome mat as his yoga mat. Even the yogi is like, why does your mat say welcome on? And he's like, because where I buy my mats, they don't sell yoga mats. And Hank gets down and starts doing the yoga. They do the wind relieving pose. And, you know, he's all talking about breathing through your feet and all this stuff. And Hank's just like, oh, excuse me, Yogi Victor, because he won't respond to just Victor or Vic. He's like, when do we start the yoga? We've only been doing stretches. And he's like, do you tell your lungs how to breathe? Do you tell your blood how to move? And Hank's just like, you know what? Vince Lombardi won 5 championships without being snarky. I'm leaving. But as he starts to leave, he realizes his mobility is starting to come back. And he's like, oh, wow, I need to like stick with this. This is actually working. And they continue on. And it shows that he's been doing yoga for a few days. At this point, they don't really tell us how much, though. Later in the episode, we learn that he's only gone like 3 times. And the yogi's like, this is the first time I've ever been disgusted by the human body, looking at Hank. But after a bit of time, Hank's back's better, and he's like, oh, I can finally quit this nonsense. And he's like, you can't quit yoga. I will say I'm glad Hank came around on it. And a few years ago, was it like 2016, I want to say, I was training to run for a marathon, and man, my body got, you know, just the training of it just beat up my body like hardcore. And I will say, from my perspective, yoga really helped, like, with my aches and pains. So, you know, I'm glad Hank came around, because it's not, you know, I know to a lot of people it seems like new age weirdness, and sometimes it can be that way, but it is an actual thing.
I've done yoga a couple of times, a few times, well, a handful of times. I've done yoga before is what I'm saying, and it is no joke. Yoga is tough, and my body was like, if you're not used to like stretching and bending and doing all those things, it is a workout. Like I was like, it's no joke. Yoga is, and you'll be more limber. Like I was able to bend more and do, I don't know, stretch more, like move my body better is what I'm saying. So, you know, we should just call it physical therapy instead of yoga. If some people like Hank are afraid of it.
Yeah. I mean, it is a physical exercise that is very helpful, but it isn't, I guess it's more than just like physical therapy. There's also people who just do it for spiritual meditative purposes or just workout. So it could be all the above. Let's see. So Hank is super happy, and we see this kind of montage where he's riding kids' bikes and picking flowers. We see the pink and white, and Peggy is like, you know what? I saw a man and a woman go for the same soup, and I introduced them to each other. Peggy even kind of jokes that he could introduce Pete to somebody. He's like, oh, nobody's going to want to be with a 40-year-old supermarket manager. And Peggy's like, yeah, you're right, which is kind of rude there. But Hank shows up, and he's excited, and he picks up Peggy and shows that, hey, my back's better. And, you know, he rides on the back of a cart, and he shows him lifting a vacuum. But then we see outside that the fraud investigator is taking pictures and thinks Hank, this is like proof positive that Hank is faking it. I don't know about you. I'm a grown adult, and I still ride on the back. Like, you know, when you have the cart and you're maybe going down the lane or you're going through the parking lot and stuff, and then you just jump on to like the back and ride the, you know, put your feet off of the ground and ride the cart. I still do that, even though I'm a grown adult.
Yeah. Like sometimes when you're kind of going back to your car, it's a little downhill. Yeah. You get the momentum, go a little faster. I totally get that. You know, my question is, this insurance lady, did she not follow, like, did she just start when Hank left the yoga studio after what, like 3 days of yoga? And she's like, today is the day I start following him.
My guess is that she has been following him for a while, and now she finally has like the proof, which is still kind of weird, because if she followed him like the previous days, she would have picked up on the fact that he's still having these problems. But yeah, I don't know. Like, I've never really dealt with insurance fraud or workers' comp fraud. I've never gone through the process of going through workers' comp. So I don't know if this is normal or if they're just really playing it up for the show. But I'm like, that's kind of mean.
Yeah, I'm, well, like you, I haven't dealt with like any workman's comp or anything like that. I've done like not fraud, but like when my car got hit by hail and I needed like stuff replaced, no one really came out to look at my car. They were just like, okay, you know, send it here. And I mean, I guess you could see the damage eventually, but no one was ever like, we don't believe you.
Yeah. I mean, I guess like if there's a hailstorm, then there's no reason not to believe you. Unless you're just like, you've had damage to your car for a while and you've just been waiting for the hailstorm to come for you to be able to claim it.
But you move to somewhere where there's constant hail.
Yes, exactly. But, you know, I think for that, they're like, yeah, we know the weather. We saw that there was a hailstorm. So that's my guess. But yeah, even like, unless you're making some kind of really bizarre claim that just doesn't make sense, I imagine that they just take your word for it.
Yeah, I've never been in a situation where someone's called me a liar. I don't know, with proof of me doing it, but I mean, I guess we'll find out in a little bit.
Yep. So it's the next day at Hank's house, and Peggy practices her bagging skills on Hank's bag lunch, and Hank picks up the bag and goes to work, and right as he's stepping out the door, that lady is there and shows pictures of Hank, you know, picking flowers and riding bikes and stuff. It's like, yeah, you've really committed fraud here, and he says, well, I've only been better for a few hours. And it's like, what did she say? She says something like, she says, oh, and I bet you're going to work. And it's like, yes, look, I'm wearing my work shirt. And it even has a Hank name badge on it. And she's like, oh, my 13-year-old daughter has a work shirt that says Hank on it. It's like, we take workers' comp fraud very seriously. We'll see you at a hearing. Feel free to wear the shirt. At Strickland, Hank is trying to get help from Buck, and Buck's like, you know, I want to help you, but I can't. And Hank's like, what? And Buck's like, I believe you, but, you know, if I get under oath, I just get in the habit of incriminating myself. And Hank's like, well, what about Team Strickland? And Buck's like, yeah, I never knew what you were going on about that. And then he gets into his car, and the woman named Jasmine is there. And he's like, okay, off to the studio. And she's smoking. And he's like, stop smoking. And you expect him to say, like, it's bad for your health, or you're ruining the car. So it's like, you got to protect those pipes, which is kind of funny.
I love when Buck is like, I never understood what you meant when you said Team Strickland. Because I joke about this all the time. It's like horrible. But sometimes at work, I'm like, when they're like, we're all a team. And I'm like, what do you mean we're all a team? And like, I'm doing all this other stuff. Where's the team in this? So when Buck said that, I was like, I definitely feel this. I feel this. I feel like I've been heard. But like in totally different ways of us understanding that motto.
Yes. Well, Buck is just a weird person. I think to him, Strickland is just a business, and he doesn't necessarily see the team dynamics, but whatever. Hank is upset. He's in the alley, and he's talking to guys about how he could be out of the propane game forever because of this, because nobody's going to want to hire a convicted felon. And Dale's like, oh, I'll hire you, Hank. It'll be nice to have a convict to blame everything on. We see the commission and Hank's at the hearing, and, you know, it's like a panel of three people, and the head guy says, like, you know, we take workman's comp fraud very seriously. We had last year 412 filings of mailmen slipping on ice. You know how much ice we had in Texas last year? Zero. And Hank's, like, trying to play, you know, the honesty card. He's like, look, even when I played football, Arlen High, I called the penalty on myself once, and the guy's like, oh, you played for Arlen? I played for Arlen. And, you know, they kind of connect with that. And the guy's like, you know, I want to believe you, Hank, but this lady has pictures. Do you have pictures? And he's like, well, she took those pictures after I did my yoga. And the guy's like, yoga? Are you sure you played American football and not soccer? And Hank's like, no. Well, hey, can I bring a surprise witness? And they're like, we've never had one of those before, but sure. So Hank brings the yogi over, and the yogi says, like, yeah, Hank did three classes with me. And then when he came in, he was, you know, he was in terrible shape, but then he felt good. But he was acting like really weird, trying to hit on the stenographer and acting like very, I guess, spiritually and stuff. And the commission is like, he's not really helping your case. And Hank's like, exactly. If I weren't in excruciating pain, why would I sit through this guy's class? Wouldn't I kick his ass? And then they all start agreeing, and they're like, yeah, you're right. Well, we find you innocent. And the yogi's like, what? You can't let this guy quit his yoga. He is still in pain. And the commissioner is like, is that true? And he's like, yeah, I've got a little twitch here and there. And the guy's like, I'm sorry, we can't risk you relapsing again. You need to continue your yoga.
I love in this court scene when the yogi comes and he's like, Hank took three classes and he didn't buy any merchandise. And then at the end, he's like, when they order Hank to go back to class, he's like, but you have to buy a tank top.
Yes, I demand you buy a tank top.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's off the hook, but he still has to do yoga. But, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, that's better than being held up for fraud. At the Pink and White, Peggy comes up and is like, hey, Pete, I've got an idea for, like, a promotion. Let's have me compete against a bagging machine, preferably a Russian bagging machine. And It's like, I'm sorry, Peggy. The pink and white is going out of business. It appears that customers really do care about lower prices. Chet and I are going over to the Megalomart. And Peggy's like, no, I don't want to go with you. Maybe in 20 years, people will appreciate bagging again. And Pete's like, doesn't look like it. The episode ends at Strickland Propane, where Hank is teaching the guys yoga, but he's like, oh, this one I call sodding the lawn. So he's like making it all sound, I guess, more manly, the positions and stuff. And all the guys have welcome mats, but they're receiving it pretty well and saying, I feel like I'm one with the earth and everything. I feel my chakra opening up. And the episode ends.
I really love this episode a lot. The A story is so strong that for me, the B story just doesn't do it for me. It's like really weak, just in my opinion. The Peggy bagging thing, it's got its funny bits, but the A story is so strong that this episode always is memorable for me. The Johnny Depp as the yoga instructor is just, it's such a great thing, because you forget that you get all these great guest stars on King of the Hill, like these celebrities coming in, because sometimes they don't even sound like their normal voices, like they actually do a character. So it was really great. This is such a great episode.
I love this episode too. Admittedly, it's not one of my favorites, but I also always enjoy it because I like seeing the yogi and I like seeing Hank. I mean, anytime Hank kind of grows in a way, I'm always a happy person because he's definitely the type of guy who's all like, oh, you know, this is a weird thing, or this is wrong, or some variation on it, just for no other reason other than it's different than what he's used to. And I always like when he kind of comes around and learns that, you know what, my rigid way of seeing the world isn't necessarily the best way or the only way.
Yeah, it's a... Yeah, Hank learns and he kind of puts on a twist on something and ends up helping other people and himself. It's such a great, great thing. Though I would watch, you know, saying that I don't like the B storyline, I would watch a movie of Peggy going against a Russian bagging machine. I feel like that's movie worthy.
Oh, that would... I guess that would be fault. I guess that would be a fun episode. Like, kind of like, what is that movie? Miracle with the Russian team in the 1980 Olympics with the hockey and the U.S. and Russia team. A movie like that, but it's just Peggy versus, like, a Russian bagging machine.
Yeah, I definitely, I mean, that's not a evening show. It's definitely a matinee scene, but I will watch it in theaters.
I don't know. Well, I think I'd more wait for streaming, but I mean, it might be a good theater film. I don't know. Maybe.
What if James Cameron directed it? Does that change anything?
I might give it a better chance. I might give it a better shot. But yeah, this is all I have on this episode. What about you?
Yeah, that's those are probably all my thoughts on this episode. Definitely, like I always say, definitely worth a rewatch.
Yes. And anybody who has back pain, you know, I'm not a doctor. Check with your doctor first. But I would highly recommend yoga because it did. This episode is not just, you know, fake or whatever, or just for laughs. In my personal experience, yoga has helped me with body pain. So, you know, talk to your doctor and give it a shot. Heck, even if you don't have back problems, it's a good way to exercise and feel healthy and feel kind of grounded and stuff. So, yeah, give it a shot.
Yeah, go. Do some yoga. Preferably if Johnny Depp's the instructor.
Yep. Yeah, even if he's not, you know, maybe if a guy who looks like Johnny Depp will work just the same. Next week, we are doing Lupe's Revenge, which is an amazing one because it's a Peggy-heavy episode, and it really lays into how terrible she is at Spanish, so you need to listen to this one. Until then, I am Jason.
And I'm Jimmy.
Bye.
Bye.